Now in session, Judge Jessen, Judge Riley, Judge Bradville, the Honorable Lucinda E. Jessen presiding.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals, where we're holding our oral arguments on zoom.gov this morning. It is July 22nd, 2021. We have two orals on our calendar before considering our non-orals. And Marshall, will you please call the first case?
The first case on the calendar is number A210143, in re a resolution of the North Mankato City Council in the matter of a nuisance property located at 229 Allen Avenue, North Mankato, owned by Edward R. Borchardt and Ann M. Borchardt.
Good morning. The procedures are very on zoom.gov are very much as they would be in our physical courtroom. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your argument, and counsel for appellant, you'll have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. We would ask you to introduce yourself at the beginning of your arguments, because we do make the taped arguments available on our website, and it's easier to identify who is speaking that way. If you have any technical problems, we haven't had as many of these recently on zoom.gov, but if you do, just let us know, and we'll stop clock and make sure that we work with you, because we do want to hear from each of you this morning. And speaking of the clock, you will notice that on our Zoom kind of screen, there is a clock which is will let you know how much time you have remaining in your argument. And with that, counsel for appellant, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Carl Friedrichs, attorney, Mankato, Minnesota, and I represent Ed and Ann Borchardt, 80-year-old residents who have been 30-plus year owners of 229 Allen Avenue in North Mankato, Minnesota. There are three actual issues in this case. Are the ordinances void for vagueness? Were the Borchardts granted due process in the hearing in this matter? And are there sufficient facts to support the decision of the City Council? As the court knows, the United States and Minnesota constitutions allow a property owner to use their properties as they see fit. I've discussed a couple cases in my reply brief that explain that trees and ornamental shrubs are items allowed on properties. In Section 92.16, the ordinance states the following are hereby declared to be nuisances affecting health: all noxious weeds, and then the key words, and other rank growths of vegetation upon public or private property. It is the words "and other rank growths of vegetation" upon which the City of North Mankato seems to hang its hat, because those words are repeated frequently in the resolution. Hard Times Cafe indicates the statute is void to vagueness if it defines an act in a manner that encourages discriminatory enforcement and is so indefinite that people must guess at its meaning. And the Saba versus City of Fridley case I cite states that there must be illustrative items that in the ordinance that are sufficient to limit the city's discretion.
Mr. Friedrichs, if I can ask you a question there about that, would your clients know what needed to be done so that he doesn't have to guess, as you noted. Do we only look at the ordinance itself and the words in there, or can we also look to the city's actions when they went out and talked with him about what they believe needed to be done? Can we look at both, or just the words of the ordinance?
The words in the ordinance are what need to guide the residents and provide information that's sufficient for them to make a determination. If it is the personal opinion when an enforcement officer shows up at the property, as indicated by Police Chief Gullickson, that something needs to be changed, there's no guidance even for the city's enforcement staff. They're making it up as they go along. In this case, the only descriptive words are noxious weeds in this portion of the ordinance, and there is no claim that as of September, and certainly not as of December 2020, there were any noxious weeds on the property. Mr. Borchardt had indicated he had eradicated the few items of buckthorn he had seen. There needs to be guidance, and that's what the City of Edina versus Dreher case says. The ordinance must give guidance to the owner or the investigating officer as to what is allowable. It can't be an ordinance whose violation entirely depends on whether or not the enforcement officer is annoyed. In this case, if you read the transcript, Chief Gullickson stated, in my personal opinion, I wouldn't want to live there. Mr. Kennedy even commented, our problem ends up being we have to make a value judgment. There needs to be guidance in the ordinance as what would constitute a rank growth of vegetation. And I've asked at least 24 people, can you tell me what a rank growth of vegetation is? Most of them say they have no idea. And some say, well, it isn't rank something that smells.
But to Judge Jessen's point, she's wondering, since the city employees went out several times, many times over the course of the years to talk about the condition of your client's property, wouldn't that be the guidance that they needed? Do you think we can look to the city's behavior as well as the ordinance itself?
The city's behavior, as I am indicating, needs to be guided by the ordinance. It can't be their wide open opinions. They provided information and requests about removal of personal property on the Borkert land, and that was removed and dealt with by the Borkerts. Mr. Fisher was satisfied with that. There was work done in the front yard. Police Chief Gullickson comes back and indicates, I'm not happy with the way the backyard looks. It still has things there. But we never get a letter from the city that specifically identifies what items are not making Chief Gullickson or any other staff happy. And that's where the vagueness is. They never state, this is what on your property constitutes a rank growth of vegetation, and there's no guidance in the ordinance to give anyone, the enforcement officers or the Borkerts, an idea what may be considered a rank growth. I'd like to touch on section 90.095 briefly, and that one is also unconstitutionally vague because it says whoever by an act or failure to perform a legal duty intentionally does any of the following is guilty of maintaining a public nuisance, and that's maintains or permits a condition which unreasonably annoys, injures, or endangers the safety, health, morals, comfort, or repose of any considerable number of many members of the public. Well, that ordinance doesn't define unreasonable. And in this case, it would be unreasonable annoyance. That's what's cited in the resolution. And it doesn't state a quantity of what would be a considerable number of members in the public. In this case, we have two residents that showed up, one police chief.
Mr. Fredericks, before you go ahead and summarize the record on that, I just want to talk to you a bit about your interpretation of the statute, whether unreasonably annoys is void for vagueness. So we have the case that has upheld language about good cause, right, as being sufficiently specific and not void for vagueness. So it seems to me that although obviously there are differences, unreasonably annoys is similar to good cause. It does give some qualitative judgment, but obviously evidence is offered. The finder of fact makes a determination. There were determinations made here, which I know you challenge, but let's just, for the purposes of this argument, assume that the findings are supported by the evidence. It seems like the standard does have some meaning, unreasonably annoys.
Well, it has to unreasonably annoy something, the health, safety, morals, comfort, or repose. Well, there's no indication in this case the health or safety or morals of anyone are affected.
But that's an evidentiary issue, isn't it? Not really with the standard itself.
And that's where we get back to the lack of findings of any evidence, but that's later in my argument. So we're only dealing with comfort and repose of two neighbors in this case. Perhaps if you link all of it together and had actual evidence supporting it, you could find something that would be an unreasonable annoyance. But in the Jednik versus Minneapolis General Electric Company case that I cite, they state it must be a material and substantial interference with ordinary physical comfort for ordinary people living in a city. In this case, the city of North Mankato has a number of parks that have at least as extensive of vegetation growing in them and allowing wildlife right next to residential areas.
Where is that in the record?
There are photographs of Benson Park and Bluff Park that I submitted, some of those in 1 through 28. And I believe Mr. Kennedy acknowledged that Benson Park was one of the photographs, or one of the council members mentioned that.
I did look at the pictures, and it wasn't clear to me what all of them were. Obviously, I could tell the ones of your client's home. I have a question for you. I'm looking at the findings of the resolution, and it's finding number 6, that the rank growth unreasonably noise a considerable number of members of the public. What do you think a considerable number is?
When you have 14,000 people in a community, I would think a considerable number would have to be something over 1,000. I certainly don't think 2 or 3 people. And if there were more than the 2 citizens that testified, Mr. Fisher could certainly have provided some statistics about the other persons that complained, the dates they complained, and what they complained about. They could have provided that sort of summary report in December of 2020, but no such report was provided. Only the 2 residents testified. And that's where we get to the lack of factual findings to support the decision of the council. I go through those in detail in my brief, and I would ask you to refer to those. But it was interesting to me to see Mr. Kennedy in his brief mention something about the property being in disrepair and potential fire hazards when none of that is in the resolution, and all of that would be inapplicable. There's no evidence along those lines. The bottom line is that the Borkert property supports pollinators and is a public health benefit and is in compliance with the governor's executive order and other things that indicate we need pollinators, more fruit trees and more trees in the communities.
So Mr. Friedrichs, I would like you to help me with this, if you would, and Mr. Kennedy perhaps could address this too. And I'm grappling with what's the time frame. So I'm thinking here on not on the vagueness claims, but as far as the sufficiency of the evidence. So when we're looking at the sufficiency of the evidence to support the resolution, do we look at just what, you know, what evidence there was of that an unreasonably annoyed number of people, you know, in that fall and that December? Can we go back and look across the past 3 or 4 years when there have been, you know, or maybe more, when this series of complaints about your client's property? If you could give me your perspective on that and cite any case law you think supports it.
I don't know how you can go back all over all of the years and look at the complaints and whether there was an unreasonable annoyance at that time. Mr. Fisher admits that everything was resolved as of August 2020, other than the growth of vegetation. And I don't think there's anywhere that the courts have held we can take something that has been corrected and use it against you when we pass a resolution that relates primarily to a rank growth of vegetation. So those are the points I have to make. I would like the court to completely strike the words rank growth of vegetation from that section of the ordinance. And I believe Section 92.16 as a whole is so vague without quantitative numbers of people in it that the entire section should be stricken and rewritten. Mr. Kennedy claims that the property is not maintained up to the standards of the city code, yet in his brief, he doesn't identify what those standards are. He claims the city has a duty to provide the community where they can raise their families. There's nothing on the Borkert property that prevents folks from raising their families in the community. It has vegetation that is similar to what exists in the city parks. So I don't understand where there is an issue in a public nuisance that affects a large member of the members of the public, and there are insufficient facts in the record to support the conclusory statements in the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Friedrich. You'll have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Mr. Kennedy, we'll turn to you.
Thank you. I'm Christopher Kennedy. I'm the Assistant City Attorney for the City of North Mankato and representing the City of North Mankato in this matter. In this particular case, you know, I believe what you're looking at is trying to weigh the rights of individual regarding the rights of the people in the community. And it's something that's a strong weighing test that everybody has to take a look at and that the council in this particular matter was particularly concerned about. We have a situation with the Borcharts where the city hasn't taken any rash action. We haven't moved forward and tried to force compliance because they don't like the city. The record shows that the city's been working with this particular property owners for a long period of time and trying to have a discussion with them as to what happens. But if you do live in a community of any size, there has to be certain expectations of how you're going to maintain your property to be fair to other property owners, not only yourself. So we do have that weighing test regarding an individual property owner and the rights of individuals that are going to be sitting in the community. But before I get into all those issues, one of the things that was not addressed by Mr. Friedrich that I do think that this court has to take a look at is whether or not this matter is even properly before this court here. Mr. Friedrich's client in this matter originally brought this action in district court. They brought an action. It's currently pending in district court. When we objected to the jurisdiction, indicating that this was a quasi-judicial matter, and we believe that the Court of Appeals has jurisdiction in this matter, and as that wasn't raised, that the court does not have jurisdiction, I assume that Mr. Friedrich's consents to that issue. Nonetheless, the matter is still pending in the district court. There's a motion pending with the judge that apparently he's waiting to hear what the Court of Appeals has to do in this matter. And procedurally, I think that this matter is deficient in being before this court. I mean, we
Mr.
have a position.
Kennedy, I don't really follow your argument. We have parallel actions all the time between federal and state court, between state and district court. And this case, you assert in your brief that the action the city council took was quasi-judicial, and review of that is by writ of certiorari, which is exactly what the Borcharts did. So our jurisdiction, to me, seems sound. So you have to help me understand why you think it isn't.
I think you have jurisdiction in this matter. I don't think that's the question. I think they're perceivably deficient in bringing this matter because you have the potential of having two courts making on the same issue two different decisions. Whatever decision the court makes here today does not absolutely indicate that Judge Westfall and Nicollet County Court's going to necessarily follow that. And then the city is faced with the process or possibility that we're appealing a decision from the district court to try to take care of this particular matter here. And
well,
this is something
based on what Judge Westfall has said in district court, that's very speculative on your part. And I want to ask two questions.
Sure.
The first one is, do you have any authority that supports that something can be a nuisance just because it's unsightly or people don't enjoy looking at it? That's my first question. And then my second question goes to the findings in the resolution and where the record support for each of those findings is.
Okay. In regards to the first question, I believe that the ordinance itself kind of goes through that particular matter. And I think that, quite frankly, the best people to determine what the ordinance means is the city council as members of the members.
Well, my question is, do you have any case law authority to support that something is a nuisance just because it may be unsightly or people don't like looking at it?
Offhand, outside of what's in my brief, I do not have any additional case law that I could cite by memory.
Thank you. And then do you have the findings in front of you from the resolution?
Let Just give me 1 second to pull that. I have the findings in front of me.
Okay, so it deals mostly with the rank growth of vegetation. So finding number 3 is that the rank growth of vegetation offers a habitat for rodents and other animals. I couldn't find record support for that. And the record I have in front of me is the transcript from the hearing and what was submitted.
Right. There was a letter that was sent to the city of North Mankato from a citizen that indicated that he had seen what he thought were rats. I believe that Mr. Fisher, in his comments, made reference to that particular letter. The city, obviously, when we receive specific complaints regarding a property from a specific property owner, are limited under Chapter 13 of the Minnesota statutes as to what information we can provide back to that. But in regards to that particular reference, it was a reference that was made to the city from a resident.
And was the date of the letter given in the record? Do we know if it was an old or new?
I do not believe a date. I do not know that the date of the letter was put into the record, no.
Okay, and so then number 4 has to do with the vegetation is unsightly. And as you've indicated, you don't think there's case law about that, but that we should rely on what the 2 neighbors said and the 2 city employees?
I think actually the council can rely on more than that. I think they can rely on Mr. Friedrich's information that he provided to the court. I think they can rely on the pictures of the property, and they can make their own determination based on those pictures as to whether or not they believe that it was unsightly. So I do think that the record clearly shows that there is sufficient evidence to show that the property is not maintained in a manner that other properties in the area are maintained, is not maintained in a manner that would be considered normal. And I think Mr. Friedrichs and his arguments address that. And I'm not saying that all properties necessarily have, but I do think that there's sufficient evidence in this matter to show that, you know, the property in this particular matter was unsightly and that the council members had sufficient evidence to make that determination on an individual basis.
And then what's the record support that it's a public health concern?
I believe that would be Chief Gullickson when he was talking about the nature of the property and how the property is being maintained. And specifically that we're looking at a growth of vegetation that was done in a manner that when we talk about rank growth or other things of that nature, that would allow for it to be increased for health risk for either, undue pollination for people who have allergy issues. Granted, that's not directly in the record. I believe that he talked about there being worries about when the property is dried. Mr. Friedrichs and his letters and stuff talk about the property being frozen over the years. I think those are all sufficient to show that there's enough basis here for there to be health and safety concerns regarding the property. And again, the council members had a lot of information was provided to them in great deal by Mr. Friedrichs. And I think that stuff was, very helpful. And they took, and I think you can see from the council members' discussion in this particular matter, in particular, council member Norland, that they took these matters very seriously and gave a lot of weight to all the information that was being provided to them. I don't think that they made any of these findings on an arbitrary fashion. And quite frankly, at the end of the day, they told the city staff that even though we're making the findings, we don't want you taking any action until June of next year to provide additional time for these matters to be resolved by the property owners.
Number 6 says that it is maintained in a manner that unreasonably annoys a considerable number of members of the public. So I asked Mr. Friedrichs what he thinks considerable number is. What do you think considerable number is? And what is the record evidence about the number of people?
I think considerable number has to be something that's much lower than the number that we're looking at for Mr. Friedrichs. We're not looking, when we're talking about nuisance properties or the rank growth of vegetation, about something that's going to affect all 14,000 citizens of the city. So it's not reasonable to expect that you have to annoy 1,000 people before you're going to have a nuisance property or any nuisance of that nature that's going to be reasonably annoys enough individuals, because we just would never hit that standard. Where I do, think the reasonable number is we take a look at, the number of complaints that may have been from the community itself, you know, depending on the size. And what I mean by community, I mean by the neighborhood.
Well, I had a hard time counting the number of people from the record evidence.
Right.
But there are the two neighbors.
There was two neighbors that gave a specific objection to the manner in which the property is being kept. In addition, we saw the pictures, you know, regarding the property, and I do think it's reasonable for the council to take a look at the property and take a look at the evidence and determine if they think that there's some other portion of the, you know, population under in their view that's going to be unreasonably annoyed by this property. You know, we're talking about a residential area that's off the street. It's not a main thoroughfare where it's going to have a lot of traffic. So the fact that we have any neighbors that are complaining about it is a concern.
And so, Mr. Kennedy, isn't the issue on the sufficiency, doesn't really come down to whether having two or three neighbors that are unreasonably annoyed, does that amount to a considerable number of members of the public? Because a lot of those other previous complaints were made before everybody agrees the property was, to some extent, cleaned up. So doesn't it really come down to, are two or three people enough to matter, to count as a considerable number?
But you're only looking at the property. We have at least five other citizens that found it unreasonably annoying because we have the members of the council themselves. So, I mean, I think that's the problem with looking at just those neighbors and who's, it's not what we're looking at for the standard. We're looking at a community standard and whether or not, you know, the council is in its best position to make the determination of that. You know, Richard Nixon used to always talk about that silent majority. And I think we've seen that in elections, that there's, you know, things that happen out there where there has to be some body or somebody standing up for the people that don't want to argue their opinion or don't want to say what's happening here. And I think that's properly the you know, why the council has to be the party to take a look at. And I think that's the reason that the ordinance is written the way that it is. So we have challenges up into, you know, the council rather going directly to the district court. We have an individual that has to make these determinations. We have five members of the community. They're basically asking, working as both judge and jury, but in a judicial fashion to take a look at this information. And I think it's appropriate that they are given leeway in making those determinations. And I think that the evidence here certainly supports that, you know.
I was intrigued by the comments that council members Norlin and Oaks, O-A-C-H-S, said at the beginning of the deliberations. And they talked about how with the new ordinances or standards that we're going to be coming into native prairie and pollinator plots, that maybe this would render this rank growth not an ordinance violation. And they seemed loath to sanction the bore charts for this.
I think they had grave concerns, but at the end of the day, both of them end up voting for the ordinance or for the resolution in this particular matter, and they joined along with the findings. You know, it is true that the city of North Mankato has gone, you know, taken a lot of the information that was provided for a lot of the information provided from the individuals indicated their support of the bore carts in this matter. We have put together a natural lawn ordinance that's now in place. And, you know, one of the things that Mr. Friedrichs likes to bring up is that, you know, the parks are treated differently. It's not uncommon that parks or natural areas are going to be treated differently than what we expect is going to be reasonable in a residential area. And what's happening there, you know, what's happening in that particular residential area. What I think is really clear is we know that the bore carts aren't maintaining a property in a manner that most people would maintain their property, aren't maintaining a property in a manner that you would expect your neighbor to be maintaining their property, and are, in fact, you know, unreasonably annoying those neighbors because the manner in which they're looking at doing this. And the reasons that they're giving, that they're looking to do, are all speculation based on third parties. You know, the fact that they say it's for pollinators or that they want to bring butterflies and stuff in. There's no indication anywhere in the record or from what the bore carts have given to the city that they planned their yards for those purposes. You know, what it appears, and the pictures I think speak for themselves, is that they let the property just, they haven't maintained the property, and that while they may be looking to, you know, have additional birds or not, but there's nothing in there indicates that that was what the purpose was for. And so I do think those issues are important, but I think they're addressed better in different places. And I don't think that they apply in this particular case for the Borkards. I don't think anybody denies that the Borkards aren't keeping their property in a manner that's typical. And I do think that it's in violation of the city ordinance in this particular matter. And I think it's appropriate for the council to make the determination of what amount is going to be unreasonable, because that's going to be based on what's happening under particular facts. And I don't believe that is, there is a standard that we can say that that has to be 1% of the population or 10% of the population. That gets to be just too much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Friedrichs, we will turn to you for the last word.
Thank you, Your Honor. Carl Friedrichs again. Mr. Kennedy says that you must maintain your property in a manner that is similar to the neighbors, that the Borkard property is maintained in a non-typical manner. There's nothing in the ordinance that says you can't maintain your property differently than other people on your street. In fact, the cases cited in my brief, my reply brief, indicate that you can have fruit trees and ornamental shrubs, and that is a right, a property right that is there. Tom Hagen testified during the hearing that Mr. Borkard has planned his property to be the way it is. That's the indication that he wants the fruit trees, the shrubs, the pollinators, the ground cover on his property. That is in the record. There's no evidence that, I don't believe in the record, that the city council members went to the property after September 5th, 2020 to look at the property. And how can five city council people plus two neighbors amount to a considerable number of members of the public? As you've indicated, there has to be a better standard and more than just a few people. Yeah, as far as the jurisdiction issue, Judge Westfall stated during the hearing in that matter that I will keep this open at the district court level in the event the Court of Appeals determines they don't have jurisdiction and send it back to the district court. You have taken jurisdiction. I suspect in your opinion, you will state that we have appropriate jurisdiction and make a decision. At that time, Judge Westfall will dismiss the case down at the district court level, and we will all move on. The real telling language in the transcript, I believe, is Council Member Norland's comment. This is just very unclear, as a guide for changes of behavior. How are residents of the city of North Mankato to look at these two sections of the ordinance and know how to change their behavior? And the letters received in Chief Gullickson's visits never specifically identified what the problems were on the property of the Borchards. Simply the reference to, you have a rank growth of vegetation, deal with it, or you have personal property issues. Those clearly were dealt with, the personal property issues. The Borkards took a lot of action. Chief Gullickson admits it. My photographs show how much action was taken in the front of the house, how cleared out the front yard has become. In the backyard, the pictures show the grassy paths cut through the trees and the shrubs and the mulch that's down. I think there are even hostas indicated in some of those pictures. There certainly are plants in the front yard showing that this is a park-like property that Mr. Borkard has chosen and clearly planned the way it is because of the plantings and the mulch that is laid. Even on the side of the house, he's got a mulch path walking back to the back. So we would ask that the court find that the resolution should be vacated and strike the words other rank growth of vegetation from the one section of the ordinance and strike the other 92.16 entirely so that it can be recreated with specifics about what unreasonable is and what a considerable number of members of the public amounts to. Thank you.
Thank you both for your helpful arguments and briefing. The court will take the matter under advisement.